This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
We made it to Wednesday.
Yay. Except it feels like Tuesday.
It does?
Because we had Monday off. Did you not have Monday off?
I was moving.
Oh, so you kind of had to, you had to labor on Labor Day.
It felt like labor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had it off, and so I'm all skewed. It's like today's Tuesday, Wednesday. But it's actually, I keep looking at my calendar. It's like, oh, I have to be a KYKN today. It's not Tuesday.
Check that calendar. It's Wednesday. Beautiful day out there, too.
It is. Yeah. It is.
So who do we have in the studio with us today?
I'm Denise. So excited to have this person who is a dear friend of mine, but I'm also excited because she is a candidate for the Republican nomination for Congressional District 5, and her name is Amy Ryan Courser. Amy, welcome to Newsmakers and Wednesdays with Denise.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you're here. You and I have... known each other for quite a long time, and so when you made the decision to jump in, I was very excited to hear that, and I wanted to make sure we had you on so that people could, number one, be reintroduced to you, because I think a lot of our listening audience knows who you are, but then for those who don't, to introduce you to them. So first off, quickly in a nutshell, who is Amy Ryan, and let's talk a little bit about your involvement in the community, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into what you've done as an elected official, but just for a quick introduction to who Amy Ryan Courser is.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I think let's start with something I couldn't announce as a city official, that I am a conservative Republican, because, of course, right, as a city official, you're representing everyone nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan,
so,
right.
So I'm happy to say that on your show. I haven't been able to do that before. So I am a fiscal conservative, but I feel like I'm a candidate with compassion and a huge heart, because I do so much in the community and I've seen it firsthand. So I think there's a nice balance there about me, and people will learn that as they get to know me. So
I think so, too. And one of the things, you know, we talk about, you know, running for higher office, you actually have kind of walk the walk, so to speak, in Kaiser. You are a former one-term four-year Kaiser city councilor.
Right.
So talk a little bit about, you know, how that experience has informed your decision to make this decision to now run for a higher office.
Sure. Well, when I became a city councilor, I had never done anything in politics, mm-hmm. and just a community servant. And I had so much opportunity and joy working with the city council. I can't tell you. And well, it wasn't always easy. Mm-hmm. That's not my point. But yeah. The learning curve was high. The things I was most fearful about, like budget, terrified me. And I really put myself, submerged myself into the decisions and learning. And I was able to have a seat at the table regionally. Yeah. And I'll be honest, not only was it an honor, it was the most amazing learning opportunity I have ever had. And so I think that really had a lot to do with the direction of where I wanted to go, mm-hmm. and the needs that I saw in our community.
A lot of people, city council is a volunteer position.
Absolutely.
Some people they think that it may be a paid position. It isn't. Yeah. So you're devoting a lot of time and treasure. Like you said, the learning curve, let's to get in there, to have a seat at the table, to help sort of guide your city. Is that one of the main things that called you to that?
You know, in the beginning, it wasn't. It was about supporting, I thought some of our weaker issues in Kaiser were we were struggling with law enforcement and the budget and having enough coverage. I do a lot of work with domestic violence, mm-hmm. and I was seeing a huge need in that area. It's always been a part of my repertoire of volunteer work. And so when I saw a need and I saw that that's where the voice comes, because really city council's policy, and supporting the city agenda, that's things like the police department, and of course city officials. And so even though I'm not a huge fan of organized government and all that, of course, that entails, I thought it was important. If you're going to be a supporter, an advocate, and a voice, you better understand what's going on. And the best way to do that is to jump in and be part of it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what drove me initially.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other things you mentioned too is that you've been in this community for a long time. You've formed relationships. Politics is about relationships. Can you talk a little bit about some of the work that you've done in other areas, not just the political areas of your life?
Sure. Like I said, politics is new for me. I say new in the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
But I am a Kaiser girl, and people who know me know that. I grew up in Kaiser and was raised here, went to school here, and then moved away. And then I came back to raise my boys and thought this was the most amazing place to raise kids. And I was right. And it's taken a village and, you know, a lot of amazing people, teachers, coaches, things like that. This was the right place to be. And so, but my volunteerism started, of course, at the school level and like other parents and who are involved. And then it grew. It grew into the things that I was passionate about, like domestic violence, like I do a lot of work with the Boys and Girls Club and youth sports. And that's, you know, I have boys who played sports. And so that's, you know, that's where you spend your time. And so I really gave back to my community in those areas for years. And then when my boys went to college, it was time to take that next step for me. And that was city council. And so it was a win-win for me. And I think the community, I feel like we got a lot accomplished. And so I'm very proud of that work. And then of course, now here we are. But then this was never on the table. So I think being a person who's not a paid politician in the sense of professional politician, I really think that's an advantage. I'm not part of a network that's beholden to large groups. I'm not afraid to speak my voice. And as you get to know me, if you don't, you'll know that's true. So I think those are all good things for our city, not just Kaiser, of course, but now regionally.
Regionally. So, well, CD5 is big, and we'll talk a little bit more about just how big CD5 is. But you talk about finding your voice, and, you know, this wasn't on the table. A lot of times, you know, people who run for office that had this career, they want to be a career politician, sometimes make the worst politicians.
Sure.
So to have someone in, and I think there's a hunger for the non-politician to get involved, and I think that's tempered with, but you also need to have that experience that I think you articulated that you do have. So what else, because you are going from city council now to congressional to a federal office, so what was sort of the trajectory, the mindset, the decision? I'm assuming your family, your new husband is behind all that, because it does take a family. This big, I mean, you have to have all hands on deck.
Yeah, we're a team, and it was not taken lightly. The decision was not taken lightly. I think I've been in prayer about the next step for a long time. Yeah. I was frustrated for the last probably three years with on a federal level with some of the things not happening, the lack of action, which we can talk more about. So I think my frustration really, really pushed me into saying, okay, what's the next direction? And I didn't want to jump into anything, and I didn't want it to be ego-driven. I really wanted it to be a prayerful decision. I really wanted it to feel like, okay, this is the right thing. And if it's not meant to be, then, you know, then that would be shown to me too. But really, my frustration level's grown, I think, like everyone else is in politics. And so it's really one thing to, you know, put up or shut up. I'm a big believer in the action. And so that coupled with having, you know, being in, I want to say, a newer relationship since I started council. And so, and of course, recently married. And
congratulations.
So, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. It's such a huge blessing for me. And I think my family, meaning my family is my friends and family. I mean, my friends are my family, as we know. So I think there's a lot of really exciting things there. But it was, back to your point, it was a decision made by all of us. It was a decision discussed about at length. And we are a team. And I'm really lucky that we can do this together. So.
Like I said, it's important that you do have the family, because, you know, you've got a primary to go through now. So the primary is in May.
Right. May 19th.
May 19th.
Vote.
filing day is actually September 12th. Officially filing?
I have officially filed.
You have officially filed.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay. So so then you do have a primary to go through. So there's a process that we can talk a little bit about. You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, this is a Republican primary. So I just went through the Republican Party platform convention again. That's fine tuning it. That's something that is very important to Republicans. And so I kind of wanted to hit on, you know, why do you think, as in this Republican primary race, why you are the right Republican to go forward into the general election?
That's a great question. I think there are many answers to that, but we'll keep it short and sweet. I think the right Republican is the person that's willing to be unafraid to stand up for what they believe is right, and to listen to the constituents and be a voice for everyone. And that's something that I really respected the process in city council. I was, even as nonpartisan, I represented everyone. And I thought that was really a vital part of our process.
I think it's a mindset that needs to come across too, because, like, you're right, it's a nonpartisan, that Salem City Council.
Right.
You do represent all constituents. You have to be willing and open to listen to people that don't agree with you and that may be angry with you for your decisions that you make.
Very many Very much so.
Let's touch more on that, because I know there had been some times when you were standing alone, and there were mm-hmm. some things where there has to be some conviction. But we're going to take a quick break before we come back with Amy Ryan Courser. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And we are back with Amy Ryan Courser, who is running to be the Republican nominee for CD5 in Oregon. Amy, before we went on our break, we were talking a little bit about some of the things that you have done. You know, you have a record that you can run on because you have held an elected office. And I know, I remember from watching you and watching things happening in the Kaiser City Council, that there have been times when you have had to stand up for your beliefs, and it hasn't been easy.
Agreed.
You want to talk, because that's part of politics. There are times in politics when you are the last man standing. You are it, and you are standing on principle and something that you believe in, and part of your constituency may believe in and may agree with you, and the other part may not.
Agreed.
Let's talk a little bit about what that was like for you. And then, you've also had some accomplishments. Like I said, you have a record to run on.
Right. Thank you. So I think when you look back over the 4 years, there are times when it's been not just diversified, because I love the diversity. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to come across as that was ever an issue. But yeah. I can be honest that and saying I felt that there were a lot of things that city government were involved in or stepping up to the plate that they had no business.
Yeah.
And I was not afraid to say, we have no business doing this. Mm-hmm. What was difficult was that I was one of the only ones yeah. saying that we have no business. And so I really felt like it's the same example when there's property, yeah. people's property rights.
Yeah.
Again, not government's job. So I'm a big advocate of lessening the restrictions in the government mm-hmm. and fighting for the people and their rights. And there's a lot of ways to do that, obviously. But so there were many opportunities where not only was it a hostile environment, mm-hmm. which you don't see often because we're really all about policy or should be.
City government typically is pretty dull.
Pretty boring.
It really should be pretty dull and pretty boring.
But honestly, there were times that things came up and it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had police escorts more than once home.
Wow.
And threats. And, people don't realize that the people that are representing the Republican Party are unafraid to stand up and say, we're doing what we believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And supporting our constituent base who are a voice and trying to be a voice for everyone. I think they don't realize the difficulties and the challenges that some of us face. And for me, I took it personally. And mm-hmm. that was really tough for me. Mm-hmm. I was very, very forthright in saying, I'm someone who want to represent my base and I want to be a voice, and yet you're under attack. And I think that's where people need to step up and support their elected officials, and they don't realize that they have that opportunity.
I think we forget our common humanity, that just because you disagree with someone, and civil discourse has really sort of disintegrated in this country as well, and we've seen it on a local level, mm-hmm. sadly. So mm-hmm. I think my hope too, in talking about, especially at a city, like you talk about, cities should be about sewer and water and annexation and things right. that really aren't that controversial right. typically.
They should not be about sanctuary status, I'll tell you
right,
that.
Right.
That's a voter issue.
That is a voter issue.
And as an elected official, no matter what hat I wear, I will always support the will of the voters, yeah. whether I agree or disagree.
And unfortunately, we've seen that up at the state level as well. The 2019 right. legislative session was right. chock full of all that
right.
kind of stuff. So you had some challenges, you had some things, you rose to the challenge and really stood up for what you believed in.
Agreed.
There's also been some successes. And things that I know a lot of us are happy about that you had a part in.
Thank you. And I'm smiling ear to ear because I feel like a proud mom. I'm proud to say that I was instrumental in bringing In-N-Out. And I know there's a lot of opinions on that, but it's going to put Kaiser on the map. And there are people who are super excited about it.
Me too.
Thank you.
I've never had an In-N-Out.
You haven't?
No, I keep hearing about them.
All my friends are coming. They're like, let us know when it's open. We'll have lunch with you.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Yeah. Beginning of December is their opening that they're working towards. And then that's how that goes. If all the stars align.
Right.
And I also was very instrumental in Wearmart. Mm-hmm. I felt like we needed affordable groceries. That was something I took on very seriously because we had a lot of issues. We had, it was not affordable. There was price gouging. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things happening.
I remember that. And
I was a voice, and even though I was criticized, I really felt strongly that for the citizens that was wrong.
So that speaks to the larger issue of, you know, just economic development. That's going to be an issue that's going to come up in CD5. Can you talk a little bit more about some of your views on economic development, what you could do, how you would champion?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, given the experience that I have, I brought over 1,000 jobs to Kaiser, mm-hmm. and that's, I'm proud to say that, and I, of course, have all the stats to back that up, but remember, we're a team at City Council as well, mm-hmm. and we all had a hand in it, so I definitely am not taking full credit, but I can tell you those were the things that were important to me that I sought after and went after and made happen. At the same time, economic development, whether it's Kaiser, Salem, and of course now, you know, regionally, mm-hmm. I think is really important that we are supporting our agriculture and we're supporting our local businesses, especially small business.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't had a voice. And anybody who's watched our last legislative session, you know, it not only is it a nightmare, as you say, Denise, it's a debacle, and it's scary. And that's something that's really, I've been a voice at legislature for small business mm-hmm. multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really important to step up on behalf of Kaiser and local business. And of course now regionally. So I've had a seat at that table, and what it's going to take is continuously having, you know, representing people, but asking people to step up and support you and to show up. We need the people to show up and be a voice. Because there's lots of opportunities to do it.
There is. And we saw really a groundswell of that in the 2019 at the state level and the legislative level.
Totally.
Where people were really activated, really mobilized. All the way, you know, you kind of look up and realize, wow, I'm not being represented in the least here.
And when you look at the numbers, and I mean, we have just in the last legislative session, there were $9 billion in taxes passed. Somebody's got to get a rein on that horse. And not only that, we need to step up and change the direction. And so, unfortunately, as we all know, we're going to see cap and trade come back. Yep. That's a huge issue for our economic development. And we don't have a voice at that table. Also, being a state representative and going to that next level, that voice is somebody who needs to sit at the agricultural table for our farmers, for our agriculture. We have a lot of industry that Oregon represents. That's who we are.
Right.
And we cannot take that lightly. And unfortunately, I don't think that's been taken very seriously. And that's one of my frustrations. And so I'm very willing and excited to step up to that plate. Batter up.
Nice.
And you know, just Congressional District 5 is vast. I think by my last count, it's 684,000 people, and it's urban and it's rural.
It is. It's 77 cities and I believe 7 counties in District 5.
So that's big. So I would imagine campaigning in a district like that is going to be a challenge for you to do, for anybody to do. I think the incumbent who's in there now, which we need to talk about him in a little bit. We need to take a break.
No, not yet.
Not yet. We got a couple more minutes. Yeah. Okay. So you talk about economic development, urban-rural divide. You mentioned earlier, less government is better. You sound like you're limited government.
Yeah. One of the things you asked me about previously was the rural versus the urban.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to note because rural has been left out a lot in the conversation. And that voice needs to be on behalf of everyone. But keep in mind that the issues we're facing, let's say in Detroit or the fish ladders or mm-hmm. the sea lions mm-hmm. or, you know, the agricultural natural issues that we're facing are not necessarily the same issues that we're facing in, say, Clackamas, who is more densely populated. And they have different issues. We've got infrastructure, traffic issues. So it's really important to recognize that the issues are very vast depending on our location of the state. And that voice needs to be heard on all levels.
Yeah. And it sounds like you have a pretty good grasp. You talk urban rural. A lot of times they think, you know, urban is east of the Cascades. We have a lot of agriculture. You're right. We have agriculture. We have farms. We are really sort of the breadbasket area. There's a lot of wineries. There's all kinds of stuff. It's very, very diverse.
Very.
How are you, you know, as far as your confidence level, as far as the grasp on every one of those issues? I'm sure you're out talking to people and meeting people, finding out what it is they need.
Well, that's a great point. And you kind of nailed it on the head. So a lot of times when you hear politicians, they talk a lot about me and I and what I'm doing. And the reality is I'm representing or wanting to represent the people. So I'm doing a listening tour, calling it a listening tour, heart to heart with Amy. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get to hear the constituents talk about, here's what's heavy on my heart. And honestly, usually the most I hear is healthcare. So of course that needs to be addressed, but there's so many topics, and really it's vitality and bottom line and people affording to, you know, to live in Oregon. And whether you're a struggling grass seed farmer or a winery, or, you know, you're in the timber industry, we just have so many topics that are hot topics to cover that can't be ignored and has been ignored.
Well, and as a resident of CD5, I have not felt represented at that federal level from the representative who is in this, from Kurt Schrader, frankly.
And I could tell you, I've sat at multiple regional meetings with Kurt. Mm-hmm. I know him personally. Mm-hmm. I won't say we've had a heart-to-heart one-on-one. We have not. Mm-hmm. But every time I've tried, I've been told, no, I can't meet with him. And I was a representative in leadership and was not allowed the opportunity. And to be honest, a lot of excuses, a lot of inability to explain decisions and why voting records are the way they are. And I was asking the questions. I was asking the tough questions. And so and that was part of my frustration. So when those weren't answered and they were continually made with excuses, the lack of action on representing our state was something that was very, very clear to me that we needed someone to step up who was unafraid to do that.
It sounds like he's shielded himself from everyone and not really, even though he holds those town halls, he doesn't really listen.
They're interesting, and I don't know if this is just sort of across the board, but it's always, you know, it's done with a lottery, and so you have to draw a ticket, and you may or may not get your number
it's
called.
It's funny
you
say that, because I had my ticket. I went to several, but one, the one I drew a ticket because I had a specific question, and the question for me was, Kurt, I was very hot about this at the time, 2 years ago. Kurt, why did you miss your inaugural?
Right.
And we know why. Yeah. But why, the question should be addressed, why did you miss your inauguration and voting on behalf of Oregon? Because really important votes happened when he chose to be absent. And what the people of Oregon don't realize is that Kurt did sit at our agricultural table and he represented agriculture, and he no longer does that. So we don't have a voice at the table fighting against our tariffs with California and Idaho and Texas. We are constantly competing in agriculture, and people don't realize that we've lost that voice. I'm sorry, that is his number one. It's his number one thing he likes to talk about, but it's not his number one thing he's representing. He's now representing energy. He married energy. People don't realize that. And he's on multiple boards that facilitate around energies. And though I think energy is a strong debating point and an issue for Oregon, I don't think it's our number one. Obviously, agriculture is, and we don't have anybody at that table. And that, again, is another reason why we need to step up and make that happen.
Oh my gosh, there's so much to unpack here too. Can you stick around? You want to stick around for another couple of seconds?
I'd
love to have you. We are going to take a quick break. Again, we're talking with Amy Ryan Courser, who's running for the Republican nomination for Congressional District 5, and you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Florn, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm starting a big tiling job in my kitchen.
Boy.
Yeah, I need to get out to Color Tile. Before our break, we were talking to Amy Ryan Courser, who's running for the CD5. And Amy, we were talking a little bit about, kind of our shared frustration with Kurt Schrader, the current representative in there, sitting in the seat right now, and has been for a long time. Actually, you know, this seat isn't very old. I think it started, Denny Smith filled it in 1982. And I think it's only had 5 representatives all the way through. So it's not like an entrenched, I believe it was 1982, and we've had, I think, 2 Republicans in the seat, and then 2 back-to-back with Darlene Hooley and then Kurt Schrader. So as far as I'm concerned, it's time for a Republican to take that seat.
Kurt's been there 12 years.
He's been there 12 years. It's time for a change, and I agree. In my opinion, and I think you would share that with me, it's time for Republicans to get into that seat. Because I think the district, the demographics are shifting again. We've seen a lot of change at the national level, at the state level. I think the time is right. Let's talk just a little bit. I don't want to get too in the weeds with policy, but there are 2 key things I think that those listening to this show and in this area are really concerned about. One of them is our seismic preparedness, because Cascadia, it's not if, it's when.
Right.
And the other is infrastructure, specifically in the Salem and Kaiser area,
right,
another crossing over the Willamette River.
Agreed.
What do you think?
Done. Agreed. Let's do it right now.
So, okay, good.
I'm like everybody else. Why have we not done this? Why are we so behind? No, I'm with you. You know, and I had a personal experience with the third bridge. I mean, we all have. If we live in Salem, Kaiser, mm-hmm. my son graduated he's at Willamette now. I apologize. He graduated from Western. And on the day of graduation, I was that mom who got super early. And there were accidents that happened. It was one day. I have a friend who was a bride trying to get to West Salem.
I remember that story.
Yep. And yes. And I, of course, was sitting at graduation, and people missed their kids' graduation and weddings because we had no resources to get, that was backed up to get every other option to get over. And that's just absolutely wrong.
It's unacceptable. And it seems to be happening more and more and more. And that was a decision that sort of that whole thing stalled at the city level.
Right.
So, you know,
stalls one word.
I used it up.
You're being nice about
being
it.
Cheeky.
I'm not as nice as you are about it. But no, you're right. Not only is it a stall, as you call it, it's we're behind. Yeah, we're behind in our not only our infrastructure, but in our policies and our attitude of making sure everybody has, you know, accurate transportation and you know, getting to work on time.
Exactly.
Like that.
And it seems to be happening more and more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the number one thing of government, to make sure we have police, fire, good infrastructure, roads?
Right. It is.
Yeah. I agree. I think, you know.
Why are they not doing that?
I agree.
Well, we don't have the right people in there. I think that's the answer.
I think leadership is key.
I think leadership is key.
I think we need to get the right leaders in the right positions and make things happen. And that's people who are willing to take action and not be afraid to stand up and say, this is done.
Yeah.
And I have had a lot of opportunity to work with emergency management. I'm at that point where I have so much information, I'm dangerous, but not knowledgeable or not a professional. And I really respect those people who that's what they do. But I think if people realized how much trouble we'd be in, or we will be in when we have the issue, we're done as a city. You know, we're going to be completely underwater.
And how do you get traction on that? You know, not even just, you know, the third bridge, to use the common vernacular, because it really is probably a second or third or fourth. We need more than that. We're already behind the curve on that. We're probably up to needing four. But the seismic as well, that frightens a lot of people, because even at the state level, we're not really prepared for the big one. Basically every bridge, every overpass, it's all coming crashing down.
Well, and our infrastructure has not been reinforced. We are not, it's been proven in all of the studies, we are not prepared even with the existing buildings, let alone trying to do some new you know, transportation things. We are not prepared for when it hits. We'll have a huge loss.
And that again comes to having a seat at that table.
Yeah.
Federal
loss
funds.
Of life. I mean, when it's your cousin, your mom, your loss of life is, you pay a little more attention to it.
I don't think people really can conceive of what the devastation will be when that comes. And to have as much in place and to have advocates at the table actively advocating for Oregonians that I don't feel has been necessarily there.
Absolutely.
So that's about as far policy I wanted to go into, but I think those are two key issues, and it's good. I'm glad you were able to articulate where you stand on that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other things we talk about too, we talked about earlier in the show, is it's also a family decision. It's a personal decision. This is, you know, to run for office, especially in this day and age, number one, the cost of running for office is just gotten obscene.
And it's a sad thing about running for office,
and it's
because
keeping,
it is keeping people out. I know where you're going with that, and I don't mean to cut you off, because exactly what you said is, and that was one of the biggest deterrents for me to run. I've been a single mom, struggling single mom, and anybody who knows me knows that. I've been really upfront about that. You know, I'm not one with a big bank account. Mm-hmm. I never have been. And so to have someone step up and run, it takes a lot of money and donations. And that's sad to me. That's why good people are not running, because it's overwhelming financially.
And then you look at just the political climate and how we talked earlier too about, you know, having the guts, having the conviction, the courage of your convictions to stand up, knowing social media has added a whole new layer of sort of the ability to be vicious and to sling arrows at people.
It's
so it's not just standing at a town hall and facing someone one-on-one who disagrees with you. It's the Twitter mob coming after you.
Oh my gosh. I have been so attacked on Facebook over different issues and I call them keyboard cowboys.
Oh,
it's like, wow, really? I mean, you've got I don't know. I should be careful.
Chutzpah. Let's say chutzpah.
There you go.
They have a lot of time on their hands.
And they're brave. They're pretty brave behind the keyboard, but they're not nearly as brave in person to tell you what they think. And that's frustrating, because they really don't have all the information.
Right.
And that's usually the key point. And so
that's unfortunately the time when people tend to pop off, is they don't have all that information. So with that in mind, you know, running, you've got a campaign to run. You've got a primary to get through. Mm-hmm. We talked about how big CD5 is, and so you're going to be going to the coast. You're going to be talking to different constituents. What can somebody on the coast expect of you as you're campaigning over in their neck of the woods?
Sure. Well, honestly, I think everyone in the entire district can expect the same from me, and that's consistency and transparency. Mm-hmm. I'm very available, and I think it's really important to have those conversations. I don't always know the answers. I'll be the first to tell you that, mm-hmm. because it is, you know, it is something that you're learning as you go, no matter how much experience you have. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would tell everyone, and no matter what constituency you're in, is that there's no such thing as a perfect politician.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to tear us apart, the people that are stepping up and yeah. willing to serve. But the reality is, find the person that are you most like-minded to, and then get behind them. And I don't care if it's you can write a check or you can get out and walk a parade or walk door to door. We need that support as, you know, as elected officials, as people who are willing to step up and put the energy into it. And so it doesn't matter if you're not completely aligned, you never will be.
The only one you're completely aligned with is, otherwise, you will just run for office yourself, because the...
And that would be great.
Yeah.
I would love more people to run for office.
And, you know, even just kind of circling back to the city council, a lot of times finding good people that are aligned with your values to run for city council, because that one is a volunteer. And that one is where you get to face, well, you know this too, you're in the grocery store half an hour later, you're trying to buy your deli meat.
My kids won't go to the grocery store with me anymore. 10 minutes to run in to get one thing and doesn't exist. But, yeah.
So that's probably going to amp this up a little bit more for you.
Sure.
So, you know, as far as communicating, people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I have a website, amyfororegon.com. And I also, of course, have Facebook and Twitter. And I'm trying to get better at those things. And because we are all busy and working and things like that, it's hard to cover everything all the time. But I really do try to return all of my messages and answer the questions. And even if I don't know, I'll let them know I don't know. But we'll get back to it, you know. And I'm looking forward to having conversations over, you know, coffee and one-on-one type, almost a town hall kind mm-hmm. of feel, but I really want it to be more personal. I want to hear what people have to say. No lottery drawing to talk to
me. I remember going to one, and we had one person in the audience who we really wanted to ask a question. So you end up strategizing on how to pool your lottery tickets right. and get all the ones, and it ended up being successful. But that it just seems to push the process and to separate. It's like they forget about that. This is, you are a servant. This is servant leadership, and I think right. especially the individual who is holding the seat right now maybe has lost that's what it is. You are a servant. I'm his boss.
Sure. Agreed. So, agreed.
It sounds, you've got
there's
a
there's a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, I think there is too. And I, you know, I wonder too, even from the Democrat side, just to kind of bring in, I'll just go there and bring it in, the recall. The Oregon Republican Party is doing the recall petition right now. And what they're finding is that it's running the gamut from not just Republicans. There's a large swath of Democrats, a large swath of non-affiliated. So you've also got that same base out there that right. you can be talking right. to, the disaffected Democrat, the non-affiliated voter who maybe got signed up from motor voter or really is just sort of not happy with either side. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. do you think, again, the candidate that you are, the individual, the person that you are, can speak to all of those groups and resonate with them?
Sure. I think so. And I think anybody who knows me knows I have a heart for serving and I have a heart to do the right thing. And I think that's something we've heard a lot from, say, Kurt Schrader. Mm-hmm. He touts often that he's nonpartisan. But I'll be honest, being nonpartisan and reaching across the aisle can be a great thing. But I think the honest truth is that doesn't mean it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think having someone with convictions and the ability to step out of their comfort zone and say, this is the right thing for my area is really important. And we have not had that. And so I also think, you know, I have a lot of friends and family on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. and I have a huge respect for everyone's opinion. And that's how I formulated a lot of mine. I'm always open to listening. Mm-hmm. And when I disagree, it will be with respect. And I think that's going to make my campaign a little bit different. Everything I do is with respect and balance and keeping in mind the role of a servant.
Yeah.
That's really important. Yeah, and I think we've lost that.
I think we have too. You mentioned real quick before we take our last final break, the heart to heart, the listening sessions, you're calling mm-hmm. them. Do you have one coming mm-hmm. up?
I do. We're gonna kick it off in Kaiser. I thought that was appropriate.
Excellent.
So we're at Jeff and Cheryl's over at McNary Golf Course okay. on the 21st at 10 a.m. And the public's welcome. And it will be having a simple conversation about what's important and what's on your heart. And there's a lot of things. Obviously, you mentioned the recall with Kate Brown, yeah. our financial. It really comes down to everybody's pocketbooks. Everybody's struggling and yeah. suffering. And I think people want to be heard. And that's an opportunity to do that. Even though I'm not a decision maker, I want to know what's the voice that's needed in our area.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
It feels like a tsunami of taxes and overburdensome and then not being listened. And then just sort of the vast arrogance that we saw being displayed at the state level and kind of seeing at the federal. I mean, we have one Republican representing us and mm-hmm. that's in two. Mm-hmm. there needs to be balance. There just frankly needs to be balance. I'm not advocating for all going over the other way. I don't think it's healthy to go all the way over to the Republican conservative side. But good grief, we need some balance in this state.
Well, I think with the balance, we need the respect. Yeah. And I think we need to bring that back. Yeah. And I know I've had many people ask me, you know, why city to govern, you know, city to federal. And I'll be honest, I've represented the city at the state level in the at the legislature and being a voice for the business like we mm-hmm. talked about. But I'll be honest, I really felt like that was our biggest need. I am proud of the work that our local legislators are doing.
Yeah.
And I support them 100%. And again, that comes back to supporting local officials. But I do. I think it's important not only to support those people that are in office currently, mm-hmm. and let's stop creating the divisiveness and move forward and unite as whether it be a party or Oregonians.
I think Oregonians first and foremost, certainly mm-hmm. within the party, especially in a primary season. And you're right. We've got very good representation, good, strong representation locally. Agreed. Here at that state level.
Well, we can always say we knew Amy Nguyen.
Amy will still write me right here.
Yes, you will be.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, we are going to take our last break. Again, we were talking to Amy Ryan Corser, who's running for the Republican nomination for CD5. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And we are back with Amy Ryan Corser. Our time is up. It's gone by so fast. I've enjoyed catching up with you and talking with you about your race. And, you know, I think hopefully our listeners are learning a little bit more about you, getting reintroduced to you and, you know, what it is that you want to do and what you hope for the CD5 seat. So, you know, before we close out, Amy, I want to give you a chance to sort of talk to listeners, talk to voters about why they should support you and vote for you for this seat, for the CD5 seat.
Sure. Well, that's another hour. No. Okay. I think, you know, boy, without going off the ledge here, I think it's really important to recognize that in leadership, in my opinion, in leadership, who you support matters. So, for example, we currently have CD5 is in... held by Kurt Schrader, as mm-hmm. we know, and yep. he supports Obamacare.
Yeah.
I do not.
Mm-hmm.
He supports Kate Brown. I do not. I am mm-hmm. part of that recall effort mm-hmm. and verifying signatures, and I have signed, of course,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
people ask me that. So I think that's important
okay.
to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Kate supporter. I'm also not a Hillary supporter, mm-hmm. and I think she's the biggest criminal we've ever had in politics, and Kurt is aligned with all of them. And mm-hmm. in my opinion, a lot of people say, gosh, Kurt's hard to beat, because Kurt's voting records change depending on the election cycle. And mm-hmm. so I think it's really important that it's time somebody calls those facts out, and yeah. I mean facts. Mm-hmm. This is not personal. This is about the facts of voting records and who people support. Because if you align yourself with failed leadership, mm-hmm. you're not going to bring your A game to the table.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really an important part of this race. And so not only that, you know, in my opinion, I think when Kurt was first elected, you know, he had the charm of, you know, the boots and the cowboy the mm-hmm. look. And I'll be honest, I was one of those who agreed that was just a great look. And I think that's more of a Kit Topper wannabe. And that didn't really work out for the state of Oregon. So I'm not afraid to say that, like, let's take this to a new level. And
sure.
let's have someone who's going to bring their A game and do it right for the people, and who's willing to take that fight all the way. And I am.
Yeah, and like you said, it's been 12 years, and you know, before that was Darlene Hooley. We've had Democrat representation in there. It's certainly time for a change.
Right.
I think, you know, if people are really liking, if you're resonating with people, I've already gotten some emails from people who are, you know, liking what they're hearing and they want to learn more. And so, like you said, we talked about how a campaign of this volume, of this big, the CD5 is 684,000 people spanning across urban, rural. Somebody listening and hearing you now who wants to get involved, who wants to help you out, who wants to support you in your election, what's the best thing that they can do?
the list is long, but I think as we progress, it's going to change mm-hmm. as the campaign changes and grows. And so really, we just kicked it off, you know, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited with our launch. And we've got a lot of great things happening. And so not only am I available to listen, but I also want people to know that that they can reach out to me through social media, mm-hmm. email, website. And it's going to take quite a force to make this campaign happen. And that's everything from there's a lot of ways people can help. And so I tend to say, I don't want to ask for one specific thing, but what I will say is we all have different gifts. And if your gift is in that you're available and you can write a check and make a difference, or you can be a voice, or you can walk a parade with me, all of those things are equally important to me. And it's going to take a grassroots campaign to get out and really be in the communities and listen. So I appreciate that support.
Yeah. And we've had, you know, there've been every cycle there's individuals who do step up and run. I think we came close a couple of years ago. You talk about, because one of the things I noticed too in campaigning, I've met him as well, and he's a very nice man. I have no mm-hmm. issues with that. He's a nice man. Mm-hmm. But I just think the policies, like you talked about, who he aligns with, the failed policies, doesn't represent me as a constituent. I know I'm looking for somebody new and fresh that does agree with me. Just wondering, you're in this area, more opportunities for people to get to know you. I know we talked about, you know, you do have a primary to get through. Mm-hmm. Is there any interaction on that level? Or are you going to be kind of focusing on just going forward towards the general?
No. I, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah.
It's almost like baby steps. And I think that balance is important that we talked about. I say it a lot and I try to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing that matters right now is the primary. If you don't win the primary, you're not going all the way.
Yeah.
And so it will take that village. It will take people to take the time to volunteer and support. And that
village really is the Republican Party at this point, and that
Absolutely.
Is precinct committee people and PCPs.
Absolutely.
And so there's so much that PCPs, a lot of times talk about PCPs don't quite know what to do. There's been a lot of activity with them. Again, the recall has brought a lot of people out. The 2019 session has mobilized people. You know, there are other issues. There was the medical moms. There was Timber Unity.
Right.
And those are all things that hit in the CD5 area as well.
And they're not going away. Those
right.
things will be back strong into the spring and into next year. And it's really important that we have a foundation that's ready to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily organizing it, but I'm right there joining the force and available. I think that's really important. This is not about waiting. We can't wait.
No.
We have to mobilize now.
Yeah.
We have to unite now, and we have to make things happen. And so we all have to bring our A game, whatever that is.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing a lot of people stepping up. I think there's great momentum. There's momentum, not only just on the Republican side, like I said, but you've got that constituency, that base that is non-affiliated. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, again, I had another guest on a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about a lot of people feel very politically homeless. And
very.
So, you know,
and frustrated, and they're hurt because they're not being heard.
Yeah.
You know, the feelings are hurt. There's a lot of hurt feelings right now. And I think, you know, let's put our big girl pants on and get over it and find a way to make a difference, whatever that means to you.
Yeah. I think you've communicated that very well. I think your listening sessions, I have a feeling they're going to be packed.
I think so. I hope so.
I hope so, too. Yeah.
We'll have to find a way to make sure they're organized and everyone's heard.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a skill in itself. And it's new. So, again, I love the new. I love the diversity. And I love the voice. And that's really important.
And you're going to have coffee.
I'm going to have coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Denise. Perfect.
Well, Amy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Again, your website for those who are wanting to get in touch is amyfororegon.com.
Right.
Again, you talked about social media. It sounds like there are a lot of ways for people to get involved. Best way to find out to keep track of your calendar is social media?
We're going to put that on the website. That's a work in progress.
Okay.
So we'll have everything. We've got our donate button up yesterday, and then we've got that as well.
Okay, cool.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Like you got it under control. You got a great logo, got a lot of things going on out there and about. Again, I want to thank Amy Ryan Corser. She is she's running for the Republican nomination for Congressional District 5. I'm going to go up against Kurt Schrader in the fall. And Amy, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
It was absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much.
You bet.
Nice to learn so much more about
you. Yeah, it's always great to, you know, to chat with people and to find out where they stand on issues. And, you know, this is a big race. This is a big race. And so, you know, Amy is out there. She's very open and available. She has been continually throughout her career. She's, you know, again, like we talked about, 20 plus years in the community. I think that goes a long way. I know from a voter, from my perspective, that goes a long way. Having
sure.
that local government experience is important to me, that a candidate understands budgeting, understands parliamentary rules. It's good stuff.
Can't wait to see what happens in the primary.
Yeah.
All right. You've been listening to Wednesdays with Denise. I'm Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers. See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.